13 and verse number 19. At the end of that, he said, who have ears to hear? Let him hear. When he explained the parable of the tares in Matthew 13 and verse number 43, again at the end he said, who have ears to hear? Let him hear. In his letters to the churches of Asia, Jesus concludes each with a similar statement. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7, chapter 2 and verse number 17, chapter 3 and verse number 6, chapter 3 and verse number 13, and chapter 3 and verse number 22. At the end, he will say, who have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. What is the point of the saying? It is a proverbial expression used by our Lord, implying that the highest of attention should be given to that which is spoken. Simply put, my friends, if you was on earth during the time of our Lord and Savior, when he spoke, you should have been listening. He had something to say, and what he was saying was vitally important. It had eternal implications to it. And it is devastating to think that there were people that was here on this earth during the time of our Lord and did not hear, did not listen, were not attentive, did not give the highest regard to the things that he spoke. And so Jesus would say, whoever have ears to hear, let him hear. What this shows us is that Jesus was encountering people who were just like people we encounter today. People who simply do not listen. That problem existed then, and that problem still exists to this very day. People simply do not listen. And many do not listen in order to understand. So the question this evening to you is, what kind of listener are you? What kind of listener or hearer are you? I have three that I want to speak about tonight. And the first is, are you a dull of hearing? Listen. Are you a dull of hearing listener? This was true of the Hebrew Christians. If you know what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11, he says, of whom I have many things to say unto you, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. When a person has this problem, it is hard to explain things to them. Sometimes we feel defeated when we're trying to talk to certain people, and we're trying to explain to them the gospel, and it seems like they just can't understand. My friends, sometimes it's because they are dull of hearing. In other words, they do not hear in order to understand. They don't want to understand. They understand exactly what you're saying, but they refuse to believe it. They refuse to accept it. They are dull of hearing type listeners. My friends, the fault is not with the subject or the material under discussion. The fault is not with the presenter of the material. The fault is with the listener. The word dull is the Greek word nothros, and it means to be sluggish, to be lazy, a slothful hearer. Paul had encountered some people who were slothful, who were lazy, who were sluggish in their hearing. And it prompted him in verse number 12 to chide them as a result. He says in verse number 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and has become as such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, Paul would later in this epistle, in chapter 12 and verse number 1, he would compare this Christian life to a race. He would say, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, and then he says, I have finished my course. from race. So when you think about what Paul is doing, Paul is saying something to these Hebrew Christians, something that is very relevant even to this day. So let me ask you a question as we contemplate what Paul is trying to get across. Have you ever been with a group of individuals and you are walking along, you have come in a group, and you are going somewhere, you are going in a certain direction, and the place you're going to demands a little urgency? In other words, you need to pick up the steps. And as you are going along, doesn't it seem like there's always someone or someones in your group who is falling behind?
Who are simply not keeping up. And at some point, you turn around and you say to them, hey, come on. You ever did that? Keep up. Especially do we do that with children. Let's go. And I'll tell you what, I've been in situations like that where you have to keep turning around and say, hey, what is wrong with you? Come on. Especially children. It is not because they are not capable, but oftentimes they are distracted, looking at everything else and not focused on the task at hand. Sometimes people are simply lazy. They just do everything at a pace that is not desirable. Listen to what Paul is saying to the Hebrew Christians. Paul was saying that they weren't keeping up, that they were not keeping pace with the doctrines and the exhortations that had been delivered them. In other words, Paul had been teaching and Paul had been preaching and Paul is writing, and for some reason, some people have fallen back. And you're looking back at them in a spiritual sense and saying, why aren't you keeping up? When we consider the church, sometimes in congregations of the Lord's people, we have people that don't keep up with the doctrines and the exhortations that are being delivered to them. And that's why you have people, when you consider what's going on and you consider their knowledge in Christ, you wonder, why don't you know that? Why aren't you further along in your understanding of God's word? How is it that you don't understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ? You've been in the church for 15, 20 years. You ever heard this kind of thing? You've been in the church for 15, 20 years, and you don't know that? I mean, Jesus would chide with people for their lack of knowledge. Are you a leader in Israel, and knowest thou not these things? Have you been in the church so long that you have not paid attention, that you have not kept pace with the doctrines that have been delivered unto you? The reason that is the case is because sometimes what we have in the pews is dull hearers. We have dull hearers. We have those who are lazy in their hearing, lazy pertaining to the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And many folks fall behind. And that's what Paul was talking about. When you are a dull type of hearer, my friends, it leads to all kinds of problems. In fact, Isaiah wrote about some people in his day that were dull hearers. And Jesus then took what Isaiah wrote and applied it to those in his day. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse number 13. Jesus said, therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. See, Jesus applied it to those in his day because those individuals were dull of hearing. When people are dull in their hearts this way, my friends, it prevents them from understanding God's truth. Paul describes some in 2 Timothy 3:7 as ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. And we ought to appreciate just how terrible such a hearer is, because, my friends, when you are this type of hearer, you can't even be saved. And God's desire is that all men would be saved. And yet these individuals are incapable of salvation because they are dull hearers. They are incapable of turning from sin unto God because they are dull hearers. They are incapable of being healed by God, which is equivalent to the salvation of their souls. When Paul and Barnabas was talking to those Jews in Acts chapter 13, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you. But seeing ye put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, Paul said, we turn to the Gentiles. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. Why? Because when it came to the word of God, they were dull in their hearing. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah and therefore put the word of God from them and proved that they were not worthy of the word of God. They were not worthy of eternal life. You see, I cannot look at a man, woman, boy, or girl and determine that person's worthiness. I cannot determine by looking at them that they are not worthy of the word of God. However, when the word of God is spoken in their hearing and they reject it, they prove themselves to be unworthy in a rejection of Jesus the Christ. Therefore, my friends, everyone who is a dull type of hearer will pass sentence upon themselves, proving in their disobedience that they were unworthy of salvation. Thus was the Jews in Paul's day. Thus were the Jews in Jesus' day who continued in unbelief. And thus is everyone today who hear the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding exactly what it means, but yet because of the dullness of their hearts and because they are slothful, lazy hearers, they reject it. What kind of hearer are you tonight? Some people are itching ear type listeners. Paul referred to this type of hearer in his second epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He warned Timothy that you would encounter these types of hearers. You think about that. He put a warning on Timothy. He wanted Timothy to understand. My friends, and let me say this. When you decide to preach the gospel, and I don't know about you, Brother Fife, but you probably encountered this as well, or at least felt this way. When we come out of preaching school, boy, I tell you what, we're ready to conquer the world. We're ready. And we come into a congregation such as this, and you know what we believe as preachers? We believe that we're going to walk in there and preach the truth, and everyone's going to say, hey, if that's what the Lord says, then that we will do. We're naive that way. We're gullible. We're innocent in that respect. And we think that everyone wants to do that which is right. And all we have to do is say, thus saith the Lord, this and that. And everybody says, amen, that's what we're going to do. And then we get here and find out that that is not the case. We're in for a rude awakening. Paul told Timothy, you better be ready because it's not going to be easy. And he slapped on him a solemn charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. There's a reason why he wanted him to preach the word, because he didn't want him preaching anything else. The power is in the word of God. The power is in the gospel. And therefore, my friends, don't preach your feelings. Don't preach your thoughts. Don't preach your ideas. Don't preach superstitions. I have no business getting up in the pulpit talking about after this session, we're going outside and everybody's going to look for a four-leaf clover. And when you find your four-leaf clover, we're all going to make a wish. We can't preach that stuff. It's void, it's useless, it's empty. And Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Don't preach anything else, because the power is in the word of God. And then he said, be instant. The word instant means to stand upon.
The instant, he says, be standing upon. Standing upon the word of God. In season and out of season. In other words, you be standing on the solid word of God. In season and out of season. In other words, at all times. Sometimes the conditions may be favorable. Sometimes not so favorable. But you just keep standing upon the word of God. And let me tell you something. In the climate of today's today's condition, spiritual condition of the church and everything else, you know what? This is very relevant for us today to be standing upon the word of God, because so many are going off. So many churches are moving to the left, are moving to the right, moving into liberalism, moving into denominationalism, moving into all kinds of stuff. And it's getting to the point where if you move to a certain location in a certain part of the country, you can't even find a good solid congregation to attend. And what's happening is when you have ministers who would adhere to what Paul was telling Timothy, that you keep standing upon the word of God in season, out of season. It could be, my friends, that if we just keep standing, it may not be popular today to take the stance that we stand, that we take, because some people are trying to go a different way. But at some point, when folks get tired of all of this foolishness that's coming into the church, it would be good that if you kept standing on the word of God, that folk will have somewhere they can go. And I would that a congregation such as this would just keep standing on the word of God. It may not be popular. You may even get some persecution as a result of standing on the word of God. Your preacher might not be favored among some of those loosey-goosey type preachers we have now among us. But if you keep standing, this will be the place when people are looking to go somewhere and they're tired of all of the foolishness. They have no authority for the things that's going on among them. They'll be able to come somewhere and thank God we'll have a preacher like Brother Fife that's been standing on the word of God in season and out of season. And you all have been supporting him to do just that. He tells him, reprove when they're in error, rebuke when they're in sin, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You continue to encourage people to the duties of religion and all the things that God requires respecting him and man. For the time will come when men will not endure. That word endure means to hold yourself up against. Hold oneself up against. The time is coming when men are not going to hold themselves up against what? Sound. The word sound means to be in health. Not going to hold themselves up to sound or healthy doctrine or teaching. That time was then, that time is now. Time is coming, Paul was telling Timothy. He's warning him. My friends, there are going to be some itching ear type listeners, and you better get it right. Time is coming when men are not going to endure. They're not going to hold themselves up. See, when you hold yourself up to the standard that is the word of God, it's a measuring reed. It will measure you. And the time is going to come when people are not going to want to hold themselves up to that standard. That sound, healthy doctrine. But after their own lust, the word lust means a longing. A longing for that which is forbidden. After their own lust, shall they heap to themselves, they're going to have many teachers. In other words, if you don't teach it the way I want it taught, I'll find someone who will. And that's why some folks hop all over the place trying to find a church, because they don't like what's being taught in this one. You know, that's fine if it's not sound doctrine. But some folks are running away from sound doctrine because they don't want to hear you talking about certain things. People don't want to hear marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They don't want to hear sermons on that. Why don't you just leave that alone? What, and let God sort it out when he comes back? Oh, that'll be nice for people to go to hell because we didn't stand up and teach and preach on it, because some folks have gotten themselves in these situations. If I was anything like Paul, I would understand a man who says, I declared unto you the whole counsel of God. Paul didn't withhold anything that was profitable to the church, and nor should we. But let me tell you something about preaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and some of these subjects that certainly has gotten to the point where people don't want to touch them. They don't want to preach on them. They don't want to bother people. They don't want to make folks upset and all this kind of stuff, so they leave it alone. But let me tell you something about that. When we preach on these kind of subjects, let me tell you something. You might find yourself in those situations. You might find that you have already messed up and all that kind of thing. You get upset when it's being preached. But let me tell you something. When I preach it, I just tell the congregation at home, listen, you can take the sermon off. Plug your ears. Go find something else to do. Play on your phone. Do something. But it's getting preached. And I'll tell you why. Because even though you may have messed yourself up, there are a lot of young people in the congregation who are of marrying age who has not yet made that mistake. And do they not deserve to hear the truth of the gospel, the truth of marriage and divorce and what God thinks about this before they enter into the situation? And so I'm not supposed to preach on it because you have a problem with it when all of these young people deserve to understand it before they go in. Is not marriage for life? Did not God intend one man for one woman for life? Well, wouldn't it be good to know that before I went in? That I can't just get out? Amen, walls. Y'all don't have to talk to me. I'll just amen the walls because I know it's right. Me and the walls will talk to each other. So Paul was telling Timothy, you're going to have some itching ear type hearers. They're going to get many teachers who will tell it the way they want it to be told. He says, having itching ears. Natho. It means to scratch. And that's interesting because when I have an itch on my ear, I scratch it, don't you? And why would you scratch when your ear is itching? You would scratch it because you want relief. However, by implication, this word means to tickle. So rather than scratching my ear for relief, I'm actually tickling it for pleasure. So in the context then, when I have an itching ear, I want someone to tell me those things that make me feel good. I'm not necessarily concerned about what's good for me. I just want you to tickle my ears so that I can enjoy myself. People get to the point today where they come into church and they think it's an experience, so they want to come in and they want to feel good, and they don't care what their lives are like. They don't care what's going on. Just make me feel good so I can go out of here feeling good about myself. My question is, why should you come in here in sin and go out of here feeling good about yourself? If you walk in here in sin, we don't want you to leave out here feeling good about yourself. We want you to leave out here feeling miserable. I want folk to go home and can't sleep. I want to disrupt you. I want to challenge you. I want you to be affected. I want to get to your heart. I want you to feel horrible about the condition of which you walked in so that you not want to walk out the same way. We want to challenge you to do something great. Because these itching ear listeners, they have a problem. They don't like to hear sound doctrinal preaching. Paul said they will not endure it. They're not going to put up with it. So ultimately, they're going to find preachers and teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. When one turns from the doctrine, though, Paul says you inevitably turn to something. You can't turn from sound doctrine and turn to nothing. Paul said when they turn from sound doctrine, he says they will turn unto fables. That is the Greek word mouthos. It means fictitious tales, they'll turn to stories. In other words, they'll turn to the kind of preaching that will make you feel good about yourself no matter what your situation. But he says it's useless and void and good for nothing. We see that in the denominational world, don't you? Turn on the television and don't they make you feel so good about yourself? All those people are in sin, and yet those preachers are never talking about how to get out of it. All those people whose souls are hanging in the balance, who are going to lose their eternal souls at the end of this life, and yet those preachers are preaching a health and wealth message. All those people who need Jesus, who need to know him and understand as they measure themselves to the word that he gave, that there is a way to improve your life and to get right with him, and yet they're talking about your blessing is coming. We can become individuals who want to hear certain things because it makes us feel good. Some men in the congregation, you have men in the congregation, they want to hear that head of the house kind of preaching, don't they? Empower us as men. Oh, I like it when he get up there and talk about, I'm the head of the house. Yes, that's the kind of preaching we want to hear. As a man, I want to hear that head of the house kind of preaching without any regard to what that entails and the responsibilities that come with it. But if you're the head of your house, I have three questions for you. What kind of house is it with your leadership? Spiritual house or a worldly house? Where has your leadership led? Well, Brother Dismuke, what do you mean? Well, you're the head of the house, right? You love it when the preacher gets up and talk about the husband is the head and you're the head of your house. Well, you're the head of the house, but since you're the head of the house, where has your leadership led? Your house. Well, how would I know that? Look at your children. You see, I can appreciate one bad apple, but all of them shouldn't be rotten. Under your leadership. You're the head of the house. Third question, why is your wife trying to take over? Since you're the head of your house. You see, I understand that in the world. A worldly woman would take over your house. But in the church, a spiritual woman under your leadership should understand that that's not the role God gave her, and she should be content to stay in the role which God gave her. Why is she trying to take over your house if you're the head of the house? See, we want to hear those sermons. We want to hear those things told. But there's a lot that goes with it. If you're a lady in the congregation, sometimes we want to hear the vernacular of the world when it comes to our spouses. We want to hear that kind of stuff. A happy wife is a happy life. We want to hear that foolishness. If mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Have you ever just thought about that statement? Isn't that terrible? You mean to tell me if I don't get my way, I'm making everybody miserable up in here? Isn't that something? But that's the kind of stuff women sometimes want to hear. And then you have silly older men who will look at a younger man and say to that younger man, hey, young man, the best thing you can learn to do is just say yes, dear. Listen, I hope we don't have any in here, but I don't like you all. I don't like those type of men. I don't like the type of men that tell young men that. I don't want you as a young man to just learn to say yes, dear. I want you to be the man God intended you to be. I want you to stand up and step up and be the head of your house, the head of your wife, and lead her spiritually and provide for her the way God told you to. And don't be a yes man just simply talking about some yes, dear. God didn't intend for her to be over you. He intended for you to be over her, and he intended for you to be in his place. as a man, step in his shoes, take care of your wife like he takes care of his church. Now, what man is telling you to just learn to say yes, dear? That's the problem in society today. And we better start speaking out against it. Sisters and got out of hand so much sometimes they try to intimidate the preacher from the pew. Looking at you all crazy and stuff like that. And like you supposed to just shut down because they're looking at you funny. It's amazing. We could become parents who want to hear the preacher get up and tell our children, obey and honor your parents without any regard to the examples of righteousness that you were supposed to set before them. Let me tell you something. When you rearing your children and all they hear when you go home is every problem that the church has, you're talking about the preacher, you're talking about the leadership, you're putting the church down in every way, they hear this kind of stuff talked about, you're not living according to the righteousness that is revealed by God's word, and then you grow up and all of a sudden we want the preacher talking about, honor your parents, and you supposed to respect me. You didn't give them anything to respect. You didn't give them anything to honor. Now we want to hear these sermons, and certainly they're still right. But my friends, let me tell you something. There is a second part to this. You need to be God in their lives. Let it not be named once among us that they ever heard you say a derogatory term out of your mouth. They'll respect you. They'll honor you. So when we talk to the parents, or rather, when we talk about the children respecting and obeying their parents, we need to spend a good piece of time on those parents, don't we? When I've preached on parenting and preached on parents in our congregation, you can see them squirming in the seats because I'm saying some things that the children likely identify with. You see the child looking over there at mama and daddy, because I'm saying some things and they can identify that this is what's going on in their house. But we love it when the preacher say, you respect your parents, you obey your parents. Itching ears. We can become members who don't want to hear sermons against the errors of denominationalism. I remember Brother Mosier, Brother Keith Mosier, one of our instructors at the Memphis School of Preaching, told us a story one time about how he was preaching in the congregation. And one Sunday morning as he was getting ready to go in and get his seat, I can't remember if it was sister or brother that ran up to him and asked him, are you preaching on the church today, on the one church today? And he said, well, no, that wasn't my intention to preach on the one church, but why not? Because I brought a visitor today and I didn't want you to offend them. Brother Moses said, I changed my sermon in an instant. Went up and preached on the one church and the errors of denominationalism, and guess what happened? Can you guess what happened? That person that they brought came forward and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can get to the point where we become ashamed of the errors of denominationalism being preached against. But let me show you what will happen. When we stop exposing the erroneous doctrines and practices of religions, it's not going to be long before we won't know the difference. It's not going to be long before people will start thinking, you all right and I'm all right. It's not going to be long before we will rear another generation who doesn't know the difference. Sound doctrine may not tickle your ears now, but it will bless your soul later. Paul says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, verse number 8, 2 Timothy 4, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. It'll bless your soul, my friends. What type of listener are you? I'm going to say a few things about this last one, and then the sermon will be yours. Are you a good and honest listener? Jesus spoke of this type of hearer in Luke 8:15. He said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They are good, and honest hearers because they are intelligent hearers. In other words, they hear and they understand. They don't simply want to just hear. They want to delve deeper to understand that which is heard. They are fruitful hearers because they hear in order to respond. They are not just content to hear. They want to know what is required because they have every intention of putting into practice that which is heard. The Bereans were these kind of hearers in Acts 17 and verse number 11. The Bible said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were fair-minded listeners. They were willing to give Paul a fair and honest hearing. They were attentive listeners. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they did not have that attitude that no matter what you say, I'm not going to believe it. Some people are just that way. You can present unto them the gospel, and they say, it doesn't matter what you say, I'm not going to accept it. Well, I just rather keep my air to myself. If you have that attitude before we start, I'd just rather not start. The importance of being a good, honest listener. A good, honest listener is blessed. When you get a chance, read Matthew 13, 16, and verse number 17. Wonderful things to learn. We are privileged to hear some things that others were not privileged to hear. We ought to be thankful to God for that. Importance of being a good listener. A good listener is saved. It's essential to being saved when you're a good listener. Man's hearing is important because it can make him or break him. Romans 10, 17, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reasons why so many people can't come to faith is because they don't listen, because they don't hear, because they are not a good and an honest listener. It takes that in order to come to faith. It is essential for bearing fruit. The only heart in the parable of the sower that was capable of producing fruit was the one that listened properly. The reason for this is because fruit comes with an understanding of the grace of God, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Those people, from the time they heard it, my friends, they bore fruit because it changed the way they thought. It changed their affections for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, and therefore, my friends, it brought forth fruit. It's essential to keeping one from apostasy. You see, there's a real danger in falling away. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1 said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. In other words, we ought to give strict attention to that which the gospel declares. We should never forget them. We should never be indifferent toward the things that are spoken. At all times and in all places, in every situation in life, we should feel that the one constant thing is the word of God, and we should never, my friends, let it get away from us. You see, he said, lest at any time you should let them slip. The word slip means to allow it to flow by, to carelessly pass. When the word of God is being spoken, sometimes, my friends, you can have your body present. You can have yourself in a seat, and the gospel can go out, but you can so not be paying attention that those things are just carelessly passing you by. And how many are guilty of that? So that the word of God is spoken, they're hearing, and it is to no avail because they didn't have their heart into it. They weren't good and honest listeners to hear the word of God, imbibe the word of God, receive that into their heart with every intention of doing that which they heard. Without being that kind of listener, my friends, it's going to be very difficult to remain faithful unto God. The word of God will be spoke in your hearing, and it will literally profit you nothing. It is the very reason, because of the type of hearer you are, the reason some people can't grow, the reason some people can't move on into perfection, the reason some people have allowed so many of the doctrinal things to pass them by. I preached a sermon one time, and I started preaching about the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the stance that we take in the Lord's church on these doctrines. And I ran a list of things down. I just started talking about, we preach this, we believe this, we believe this, we believe that. And I shocked a whole lot of people who didn't know we believe that. I must have went through a list of about 30 things, and I put scripture behind them. And like, well, I didn't know we taught that. I didn't know we believed that. Well, why didn't you know? Why don't you know? We need to be indoctrinated in the Word of God. My friends, how important is it to listen? Now you know that your very soul hangs in the balance due to what type of listener you are. Are you a dull listener? Are you a no-thrust listener? Are you a lazy, slothful listener? Have a lot of things gotten past you? Do you know the doctrine? One sister, since I've been here, came up to me and said, I remember a time in the church where we knew the doctrine. I said, I grew up in that time when the average member in the pew knew the doctrine and would stand on it and would tell you about it. I remember a time when we said book, chapter, and verse. In other words, if you said something and you introduced something, people said, give me book, chapter, and verse. Those are the kind of people we were. We stood on that word of God, and the average person in the pew knew the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, we got a lot of people who are dull of hearing. We got a lot of folks who now have some itching ears. Brother Dismick, I was listening to this preacher. Now, he's not a member of the Church of Christ. He's not a Church of Christ preacher. Well, what in the world is a Church of Christ preacher? I've never met one, have you? But when we don't know the terminology and the biblical terminology of the Bible, we'll call our preachers pastors and all this kind of stuff, and then we'll talk about he's not Church of Christ. Well, what is a Church of Christ? Oh, I get it. You think the Lord's church is a denomination. Therefore, you speak of it in terms of a denomination. Well, they're Baptist and they're Church of Christ. What is that? Well, that's a Baptist preacher and that's a Church of Christ preacher. I've never met a Church of Christ preacher, and please don't call me one. I am a gospel preacher, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church that he established on earth is not a denomination and therefore should not be spoken of in terms of a denomination. And if we would clear up those ears, we would know that. Amen. So when we get those itching ears, we get away from those things. But what God needs is some good and honest listeners, fair-minded listeners, listeners who hear the word of God with every intention of performing that which is heard. And those individuals, my friend, are going to bring fruit. Those individuals are going to remain faithful. Those individuals will not apostate. Those individuals will stand on the word of God. And you can be those individuals. You see, if I was speaking to you tonight and you were a dull of hearing type listener and you have fallen behind, then my friend, catch up. I'm walking down here as a group and I say, catch up. You know what you ought to do? Then get your little jog on and come catch up. Well, now get to the word of God and start learning. Start paying attention. Start listening to the word of God when it's performed. Go online and listen to sound gospel preachers. Turn the radio off, turn the music off, turn the pop stuff off, and put in gospel preaching when you're driving up and down the highway. Start challenging yourself and reading the word of God every day. 15, 20 minutes, whatever you have to do, but start learning the word of God. Start asking for good resources and material and catch up. But don't continue to be that kind of hearer. You can change tonight with a decision. You can stop being an itching ear type hearer tonight by desiring the pure, unadulterated word of God. And you can become a good and honest listener. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then you can come into the Lord's church tonight through obedience to the gospel. Because you hear Jesus died for you, that he was buried, he rose again the third day, took your place because we had a death sentence hanging over us. He satisfied the justice of God, because if Jesus doesn't do what he does, Father can't save us. But Jesus did so that he could. If Jesus don't do what he does, what he did, we can't be reconciled. But he did, so now we can be put back on friendly terms with God and have a relationship with him. You can change tonight by believing in that Son of God, Jesus the Christ. And you can repent of your sins. You can confess him with the mouth with no shame before these witnesses. And you can submit to baptism and have your sins washed away. You can come out of that water a new creature, a new creation in Christ. The same power that created the world is the same power God uses to create you anew. That's some power. And you can become his child this very night. All you have to do is respond to the gospel. We invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.